following message was given at Emmanuel Baptist Church, Coconut Creek, Florida.
We at Emmanuel Baptist Church regularly on the first Sunday of the month celebrate the Lord's Supper. That is our usual practice. During this time, we have a very brief meditation, before we partake of the supper itself. Now, that meditation does not necessarily have to do with the death of Christ. However, this afternoon, my plan is to speak concerning the value, the benefit, the meaning, and the significance of the blood of Christ. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we as believers should remember the great value of the blood of Christ. When we put our attention on the blood of Christ, the blood itself, I truly believe, will draw attention to its value. And as we come to remember our Lord's death this afternoon, I would like for us to review some of the particular values, virtues of the blood itself. And I do believe that seeing the blood by faith, the blood of Christ, it will draw grace from us that will help us in partaking of the Lord's Supper. So there are a number of virtues that I'd like to focus our attention on. The first one is I'd like to consider what we often talk about and hear about, and I hope never say too often, is the preciousness of the blood. The preciousness of the blood. Now, in our focus on the preciousness of the blood of Christ, we find this recorded in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19, and we have these words: knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, it was as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. There's three things that I want us to consider in remembering the preciousness of the blood. The first one is this, and we find it in our text itself, in that verse which we just read, and that is it can be compared. And that's what the particular text does. It makes a comparison. It is a way of comparing things that are precious to us. And it's important for us to recognize the difference, the distinction that is there. And when we think in comparison with silver and gold, which is what our text refers to here, silver and gold are vile, highly offensive, disgusting, corruptible, and contemptible. Why would they use such terms as this and what's something that is of great value in a real sense? Well, it is because the reason behind those values is it has no value. There is no worth to redeem souls as the blood of Christ is. So if you put the comparison there, it begins to immediately focus upon the value because it is the precious blood of Christ. Secondly, the blood of Christ is precious absolutely. And we get this from the fact that of its dignity, the excellency of Christ's person himself, which makes it so exceedingly precious because it is the blood of that person who is truly God as well as man. This is recorded in the scriptures when God the Father says this to concerning his Son, Jesus Christ: "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Can you think of any higher value of absoluteness than God himself saying, "This is my beloved Son," the preciousness of the person of Christ? So we see the blood of Christ is precious, absolutely. And thirdly, the blood of Christ is precious to us effectively. It is precious because of its effects. It produces precious effects. Number one, it redeems or buys back precious souls. These souls that it redeemed are called a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, special, precious souls. It makes precious people. They are referred to as newborn babes, living stones, a spiritual house, his own special people. It is the blood of Christ that produces this effect. Thirdly, it confirms precious promises. We have the promise of eternal life. We have the promise of communion with God, the Creator, the sovereign God. It produces precious privileges. We are the people of God as believers in Christ. We are children of God. It is a great privilege to have a great Father. We are children of God. It's a precious privilege that belongs to us as believers because of the blood of Christ. It is the meritorious cause of the precious graces that God gives to us. The scripture says, and of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. It's because of the blood of Christ. It is the foundation. It is the basis of precious comforts. And it's important for us to recognize that. The scripture says, our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us. That's where comfort is. He is precious because of its effects. Secondly, focus on the blood of Christ because of its satisfying. It is a satisfying blood. The blood of Christ is a satisfying blood. It is precious. Because it is precious, the blood of Christ has some merit and value to us. And we understand this, but it is good for review. And that is, the law of God was broken, and we are the one who broke his law. We violated his commandments, and the justice of God was wronged by us. And as sinners, we are then indebted to justice. We owe the suffering and the penalty due for the breaking of God's law. That's our stand. That's where we are in the presence of a holy God. And what that means to us, of course, is the miseries of life, which we experience often. It's death itself. And, of course, most importantly, it's the torments of hell and its punishment for sin forever. And when we look at the blood of Christ in this supper, reminded of it again, we see that the blood is the payment of our debt. It was shed for our good in our place. He, our Savior, has endured as much as our sins deserve, all of it. His sufferings were satisfactory. They were not eternal, and they are not eternal because they were satisfactory. If the damned in hell should dwell, the damned should dwell in hell for 10,000 million years and at the end come out, that would be one thing. But that can never satisfy God's justice, and therefore the damned must suffer forever. But the blood of Christ is satisfying blood because it was the sufficient price which he gave to redeem his people. It is satisfying. And here's the text. He gave his life a ransom for many. Christ came to give his life by shedding his blood as a ransom, the price of a ransom. And when the price was paid, the creditor is satisfied. And when Christ's blood was shed, God's justice was satisfied. It is satisfying blood. Again, 1 Timothy 2:6, he gave himself a ransom. And a ransom very simply means a price paid. And the word ransom here means a price paid for another which the offender could not pay for himself. And so, as we sit at the cross and look at the cross on the remembrance of Christ this afternoon in this Lord's Supper, we can look at the blood by faith and see that the blood shed and poured out was satisfying blood. It satisfied God's justice. Thirdly, we're to see the blood of Christ as reconciling blood. It is reconciling blood because it is satisfying blood. If God had not been satisfied with the punishment for sin that Christ endured, he could never have been reconciled to the sinner. And reconcile simply means to make no longer opposed. And because we have been reconciled, no longer is God opposed to us. But when sin is atoned for, God is appeased. Romans 3:25 says, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. 1 John 2:2 says, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. He appeased God's wrath. We are reconciled through the blood of Christ. And by this blood, God's wrath is turned aside because he is now propitious, appeased towards those who are believers. Colossians 1:20 says it this way, we have peace through the blood of the cross. Ephesians 2:13, in Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We have been reconciled. Sin sets us at a distance from God, but the blood of Christ brings us near to him. For he himself is our peace. We have been reconciled. And so at this supper, we remember Christ and that his blood was reconciling blood. And then also we see that the blood of Christ was purchasing blood. By Christ, he purchased his church, his people. Acts 20:28, when the apostle talked to the elders at Ephesus and he was given an exhortation that they should shepherd the church of God, he says this, which he purchased with his own blood. We have been purchased. The price has been paid. By this blood, he has bought us out of the hands of justice and out of the hands of the devil and sin, because we have been purchased by the blood of Christ. And so, as we sit at the table, we are to remember the blood of Christ is a purchasing blood. And then we see the blood of Christ is also justifying blood. It is that which makes us righteous in the sight of God, though we have no righteousness of our own. You would not even dare to sit before the Lord at the table or either stand before his judgment if we're not justified in his blood. Romans 5:9 says, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. Justifying blood. Christ's blood is our righteousness. It is imputed to us for our justification. And then we see Christ's blood as pardoning blood. It is that by which we have a full, free, and everlasting pardon before God. Absolute forgiveness from all your sins. As made reference earlier with the message this morning. Complete, absolute forgiveness. If Christ had not died, you and I could never be pardoned, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Hebrews 9:22. But through his blood, the blood of Christ, we have redemption, that is, the forgiveness of sins. And here's the text, Ephesians 1:7 says it this way, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. He says almost the same words to the church in Colossae. He said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The blood of Christ is that which obtains pardon, forgiveness for us, and seals the promise of forgiveness for us once and for all. And so at this supper, we are to see in the remembrance of Christ that his blood was pardoning blood. Then finally, we see also that Christ's blood is a heart purifying blood. Because it is the blood of value and merit, it is also blood of virtue in our spirit. Adam's blood was staining blood. And that's why corruption runs in our blood by nature. But listen to Hebrews, the writing in Hebrews, in reference to the Old Covenant teaching concerning the examples and the types. He says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It's a medicine. It's an antibiotic made of blood. It will purge, it will cleanse our conscience. It was interesting this morning to the message, the very fact of what Christ has done for us, it accomplishes something within us. It changes us. It is not just pure blood. It is purifying blood. It is not just holy blood. It is sanctifying blood. This afternoon, we look at the blood of Christ and our remembrance of him at this table as representing this ordinance, it is a sanctifying, cleansing blood. There is tremendous value, and it's always focused upon the blood of Christ, the person of the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is precious. It is sanctifying blood. It is reconciling blood. It is purchasing blood. It is justifying blood. It is pardoning blood. It is heart purifying blood. How great is that love of Christ that would give his pure, precious, sinless, potent, powerful blood by which you and I are redeemed. What love is given to us here. And I think in fulfillment of the prayer of the apostle in Ephesians, when he says, may these truths, and he says, enable us to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Amazing love. Accomplishing all that has been accomplished for you and I to be redeemed from our sin. There's nothing that can compare to it. And using the words of Horatius Bonar, the love of God, how strong and true, how deep and great, how precious still, wide embracing, wondrous love. We read thee in the sky above, we read thee in the earth below, in the seas that swell and streams that flow. We read thee best in him who came to bear for us the cross of shame, sent by the Father from on high, our life to live, our death to die.
We hope you were edified by this message. For additional sermons, as well as information on giving to the ministry of Emmanuel Baptist Church and on our current building project, you can visit us online at ebcfl.org. That's ebcfl.org.